Good morning, Kansas Land. David Hallauer, Meadowlark Extension District Agent, Crops and Soils Horticulture with Extension today. You know, it's nice to hear a little bit of rain on the roof today, and that means maybe some of the projects that I've been waiting on from a soil testing perspective, I will finally be able to get to because I will be able to get a soil probe in the ground. One of those projects has been a little bit of attention given to soybean cyst nematode. You know, for the past 3 years, the K-State Plant Disease Diagnostic Lab via a Soybean Cyst Nematode Coalition grant has offered a limited supply of free soybean cyst nematode samples to Kansas producers. Now, if you suspect that soybean cyst nematode might be a production issue in any of your soybean fields, I would encourage you to take advantage of this program soon. Time and its availability is going to be limited. From a soybean cyst nematode standpoint, we often don't visually see them because they're, one, very small, and two, damage very closely mirrors other field issues. You know, all of the reproduction and feeding occurs on the roots by this nematode. Even digging up plants to find them can be a difficult process. There's lots of variability across fields. There's the difficulty of finding them on plant roots when you're trying to knock the soil off of them to find the nematodes. They're just very, very small and difficult to find. Because the nematode interferes with plant uptake of water and nutrients, it can be confusing as well because it looks a lot like heat and moisture stress or even other diseases. You know, think about charcoal rot. It can mimic that as well. You may not even know, quite frankly, that you're having an issue until levels have increased to a point where you're already seeing substantial yield loss occur before you ever know that you have a problem. Is it important? Since 2019, I've sampled about 30 fields across the Meadowlark Extension District and confirmed that about half of those had a soybean cyst nematode presence. Now, none of those positives were at levels that are likely resulting in a significant yield loss, but we have to continue to monitor because those levels can grow over time. Areas of poor production in many fields this year were probably due to moisture stress, but if you've noticed a pattern of poor production in a field over time, it might be time to consider ruling out soybean cyst nematode. If you noticed areas that exhibited yellow leaves and stunted plants, maybe they matured early or the patterns were circular or on lighter soils. You know, if you saw areas like that in the field, you know, it could end up being a nutrient deficiency, might have been a little bit of herbicide injury, compaction, very good possibility it could have been drought, maybe even some root rots. But sampling for soybean cyst nematode can't hurt. And so if you have areas in a field that you've noted don't necessarily have a good answer for and want to participate in this program, I would encourage you to take advantage of it before it wraps up here shortly. If you want instructions for sampling, for how to submit those samples to the Plant Disease Diagnostic Lab at K-State, feel free to contact me at any of our district offices or email me at dhallaue@ksu.edu. You can also contact any other county or district office and get those samples submitted to determine what we might have for soybean cyst nematode levels. It's a great program. We want to take full advantage of it and figure out what those numbers might be before it goes away. You know, I mentioned at the outset of the program today a little bit about the rain falling on the roof today. Again, really nice to hear. And in some cases, much of that has been a great benefit to a lot of things. But unfortunately, soil moisture levels, quite frankly, may not have recovered enough to supply the winter-long needs of many of our landscape plants. And so it's a great time to get out there and take a look at that. You know, most of what we've had for moisture so far this fall has been kind of light sprinkling in nature. You know, it only wets the uppermost portion of the soil profile. And those landscape plants need more. They need moisture to a minimum of probably 12 inches or more for optimum winter survival and then to kick off and grow again next spring. This is especially true of new trees and shrubs that have a underdeveloped root system or evergreen trees that are losing moisture all year long. You can access soil moisture levels on the Kansas Mesonet website. That's Mesonet, mesonet.k-state.edu. There's an ag tab and then a soil moisture tab. Even during this rain event, I've been able to monitor that soil moisture getting a little bit higher as the day goes along. If you want to check out your local landscape, that's a great idea as well. You know, use a fence post turned upside down or a metal rod, a screwdriver, a wooden dowel, something like that that you can shove into the soil. Dry soil is much harder to push through than wet, and you can get a pretty good idea pretty quickly whether that rain has been enough or if you're going to have to consider supplemental watering. What's supplemental watering look like? K-State Research and Extension Horticulture Specialist Dr. Ward Upham suggests that a quote-unquote normal winter might require only a single watering before spring. But if it stays warm and dry, you might want to consider watering monthly. Glad to have the rain, but need to check those soil moisture levels just the same. Hope everybody has a great weekend. This has been David Hallauer, Meadowlark Extension District Agent, Crops and Soils Horticulture with Extension today.